Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And joining us now is TD Teron Davenport. TD is brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, appreciate you for joining us. Had a blast with you on Friday afternoon. And one thing that we talked a lot about was some of your takeaways from the Senior Bowl. So just kind of in a summary, who really stood out to you? Maybe whose draft stock really was boosted in Mobile this past week that the Titans could take a look at in the first few rounds?
Yeah, I think if you look first two rounds, obviously there's a lot to be desired from the receiver position as well as the offensive line position. So you're talking first two rounds, Patrick Paul out of Houston is a long 6'7", 333-pound offensive lineman, a left tackle. He has second-round value. Xavier Leggett, he's also a receiver, very tough. Think like an A.J. Brown type stylistically. He's another guy from South Carolina that should definitely be there, you know, in round two. Guys that stood out that solidified a first-round status, I think Keon Mitchell out of Toledo, the cornerback, he's someone. There's a bunch of guys, so we have a few that we could look at, but those are three just off the top.
And TD, one thing that you and I touched on is we talk about good drafts. I always ask, okay, is it a good draft because there's a couple of guys at the top at that certain position, or is it a good draft because it's incredibly deep? Looking at two positions of need for the Titans and one that has been heavily debated, do you go wide receiver? Do you go offensive line? If Brock Bowers is available at 7, do you take the tight end? What looks to be like a deep position class that maybe the Titans could afford to wait until the second or fourth round to address that position?
Yeah, I think cornerback is one that they could wait a bit, like a guy like Jarvis Brownlee Jr. We talked about him,
yeah.
One of those corners that I would fight, you know, out of Louisville. He's a guy later. I think when you look at the extreme need on offensive line and wide receiver, you almost have to come away from at least day one or day two with one of those positions having been addressed. Now, I'm very firm on not reaching. So, you know, if there's not a guy, a top-level guy on the board and that's available, you know, at pick number 7, then you go to a different position. But I definitely think at some point you want to start looking at making sure that you leave the first two rounds with one of those guys, because remember, there isn't a third-round pick for them this year.
We're talking with Teron Davenport, covering the Tennessee Titans, was at the Senior Bowl this past week. So, TD, we were discussing T. Higgins and the potential of, you know, the Titans or anyone else, you know, signing T. Higgins this season. Obviously, it would be a sign and trade by the Cincinnati Bengals. But my question to you is, one, would you do it? And based on what you've seen in the Senior Bowl, would you be hesitant to do it, knowing that you can get a younger, you know, not established receiver, but a younger receiver, maybe a little bit faster via the draft, and you don't have to give up anything?
Yeah, I honestly would be more inclined to build it through the draft. T. Higgins, he's a really good receiver. You know, he's really good. But there's a lot of things that are factoring in when you look at bringing him aboard, right? You look at, okay, is this a situation where, you know, I'm getting the Alvin Harper to Michael Irvin? Is this a situation where I'm getting the Peerless Price, you know what I mean, to
Eric
Atlanta,
Moles,
right? And yeah, exactly, the Eric Moles. You want to avoid those situations. And so I think that's something you have to be careful about. I think T. Higgins has plenty of value, but me personally, especially a team that's in such need of an abundance of positions, I'm not putting draft stock and a significant amount of cap space to a guy like T. Higgins, in my opinion. So you look at the draft, right? And I think, you know, if you're not going receiver first round, I think second round, I mean, you got your Xavier Worthies, you got your A.D. Mitchells, you got your Xavier Leggett, who I mentioned. I mean, there's a lot of guys that I think will be available to them and maybe not immediately have the impact that T. Higgins has, but, I mean, it's a much less risk, less expensive risk, and, you know, you're using your draft. You're building through the draft, and I think that's the way to go.
Now, we had a discussion about the Titans offensive coordinator, Holtz. Is there any concerns with you that he hasn't had, other than being in college, obviously, hasn't had any experience at, you know, being, you know, an OC? And we know in this situation it's a different dynamic, because he will not be the signal caller. But yet and still, you know, you're hiring a guy that hasn't had much experience at that particular position as far as OC.
Yeah, and not only that, you're bringing a guy who, you know, doesn't have that track record of working with quarterbacks, right? He did it at Stanford with Andrew Luck, so there's definitely some history, but on a professional level, it's not there. And what's the most important thing? Like, what is most conducive to this organization finding success? It's Will Levis developing, you know. So that's why I'm still really surprised that Charles London wasn't brought back. And a lot of people were saying, hey, well, you know what? You don't necessarily need him because you got Brian Callahan. Well, guess what Callahan has to do? He has to oversee everything, right? So he can't spend all the time with the quarterback developing that position. And so that's why, for me, I felt it was important to either, A, bring in a coordinator that can, you know, have that type of effect on the quarterback, or B, having a QB coach. And that's where Charles London, in my opinion, would have been perfect. Now, who knows who they're yet to bring in, but whoever they do bring in is going to have a significant role. I would say a little bit more significant than the typical QB coach, because of the importance that Will Levis, his development, has on the organization.
Teron Davenport is with us. And Teron, I didn't go looking for it, but I got into one of those rabbit holes of watching the Super Bowl highlight films, which I really enjoy. And I was like, yeah, man, there's so many of them now. I used to have all those memorized, like who caught the touchdown pass and everything. That lasted until about mid-90s, and now the years start running together. Like, oh, I remember this guy or that guy. I hadn't thought about that guy in a long time. But while I was watching them, they had all these mock drafts going on. So I didn't go looking for mock drafts, but I noticed that.
Oh, the ticker at the bottom.
The ticker at the bottom. And then this morning on the ESPN shows, they were going through some mock drafts. It's amazing. Every single one of them I've seen so far has Joe Alt going for the Titans. So just give us an overall synopsis of Joe Alt at this point for you. Is he clear, in a way, the best tackle out there?
Yes, as far as the floor. Joe Alt is a guy that you just give him number 76 and you say, thank you for the 10 years of service at left tackle that you're about to give me, and just let it rock out. I think that's it. Then you take that and you combine it with Bill Callahan as a coach. Yeah, you're in good shape. I think, to me, you know, when you look at him, I'll say it. I don't think that there's a prospect in this draft that's more plug and play, ready to go, than Joe Alt. So that's why, if they're able to get him at 7, left tackle, you're in really good shape, because, you know, you start looking at that left side of the offensive line. You got Joe Alt, you got Peter Skoronski, and you got a coach that's so well polished at making sure that guys are doing the right thing, and Bill Callahan, and you'll be in really good shape. So it's just the floor for him is so much higher than any other offensive lineman. Like, you look at Olufoshanu, and it's like, okay, there's all this athleticism. Man, he only gave up one sack last year. Well, so did Joe Alt. But the thing is, you're working on upside with a guy like Olu, or with a guy like Talis Fuaga, who I don't believe is, you know, in the same class as Joe Alt. Or even you look at a guy like Tyler Guyton, a right tackle, who's very athletic, you know, and good in his own right. I just think Joe Alt is truly plug and play, go right from the start, and you don't have to worry about the position for a while.
I couldn't begin to answer this question, but I do wonder, does Alt's skill set complement Skoronski? Well, you'd have to envision, because in the perfect world, right, that's your left side of your line for a long, long time. But how do you think those two pieces fit in theory?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to get fine, fit fine. We're still getting to know and learn Skoronski as a guard, you know, when we watch him. You know what I mean? Obviously, the coaching staff, they know. But, you know, as someone just, you know, outside looking in, we're still getting to learn. But the fact of the matter, like, you go back and you watch, even like the Ohio State game, you know, they did a good job just exchanging, you know, on PE stunts and those type of things. Joe Alt is a force in the run game. Like, he's ideal for wide zone blocking and that type of thing. And he's very good at pass pro. So regardless, it's going to fit. Like, you find two players and you put them in a situation, they're going to find a way to match up and be okay.
Teron Davenport is with us. TD, we saw a lot of coaching hires come out over a couple of days. You know, you saw wide receivers coach position being filled. Nick Holes was named as the offensive coordinator. Bill Callahan named the offensive line coach. You saw several names come out kind of boom, boom, boom over a few hours. Pretty silent over the weekend. What do you think comes next? And maybe what is the holdup perhaps in the rest of the position, the rest of the position coaching vacancies?
Yeah, well, Ty Tolbert, the receiver coach, was definitely a good hire. And look, what you saw in those boom, boom, boom type of hiring, that's why Rand Carthon stays here as opposed to going to the Senior Bowl. Because this way he and Brian Callahan, they could go ahead and do the interviews. I have no problem with and I think it was actually smart for Rand to stick around and actually sit in on the interviews with his head coach. That was a wise move, not a silly move, as some have referred to. So you do have that. Now, the QB coach, I mean, again, it goes back to what I said. I think that's a really, really critical decision for them to make. So we're going to see how that comes about. But, you know, I would imagine they're kind of treating that with a little bit more of the fine tooth, the white glove service than, you know, some of the other things. And we still have to see what they're going to do as a D-line coach, right? We have that. You have the how are they going to have the defensive line set up? Are you going to have an outside linebackers coach, or are you going to have a D-line coach that covers all that, you know, the DNs and D-tackles? So we'll see.
Now, TD, did you get any sense of why they chose not to retain Terrell Williams? Obviously, he's highly regarded, not just here in Nashville because of what he was able to do at that defensive line, but I'm sure across the NFL. He's going to Detroit, which Detroit needs him. But it just seemed like to me that the Titans, for whatever reason, it don't seem like they made a pitch to bring him back. Now, they could have and just didn't tell anyone, but it just seems like he's a damn good coach. And for you to let a damn good coach leave, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, from what I understand, he did have the option to come back, but he went elsewhere. And I know from talking to him early in the process, you know, there were plenty of options for him. He had some things to weigh out. And that's what happens when you're as well respected around the league as Terrell Williams is. So it was just one of those things where he took up another opportunity. And I can't wait to see what he does in Detroit. You know, they have a guy out of Washington that we had on Talking with TD, Levi Muzurike, who was an awesome D tackle there at Washington. I want to see, you know, what that ends up happening there in Detroit. And then you also Tavondre Campbell, who you know is an outstanding, a huge. He's six four, 365 plus. Caroline saw the way I was gushing about him when we did the show on Friday. So you know that's someone that he could work out with too, and he's already helping him. So yeah, I mean it's just a change of scenery for him.
TD, you bring up the Senior Bowl, and Chad Brinker was the representative for the Titans at the Senior Bowl. Just based off of what you've heard and kind of how the Titans have highlighted his role in comparison to Rand and Brian Callahan, because we talk a lot about Rand and Brian Callahan, of course. We know Rand will have final say. We know Brian Callahan, you know, he's overseeing the coaching staff. But how exactly does Chad Brinker's role fit into the team?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's going to be in charge of making the decisions operationally. Essentially, that's his focus. But the Titans have the luxury of having a guy in that position that is also well-built from a scouting perspective. So on situations like Senior Bowl week where Rand Carthon, his ability and everything, his service was needed in a different capacity. Okay, Chad is able to go down and still scout, and just like he did, you know, on the sidelines there at the practices and be another set of eyes, you know, in addition to that scouting staff that they had. So his role really is going to be, and for the most part, it's everybody, you know, whatever it takes. But, you know, you look at him, he's serving from an operational standpoint as well as, you know, still doing the scouting and having input on the football side of things.
Is there a dynamic that you know of? And I'm just curious, just because we'll probably get a better idea of exactly where his role stops and starts, or the lines between his roles and other roles as time goes on. We start to see how he represents the team. But is there another dynamic like that that you're aware of in the NFL?
What, where you have a guy focusing a lot on operations and you have the GM?
Well, more so, like you said, the guy focused on operations but also has a hand in scouting as well.
Yeah, I think, the Falcons, it was like that for them before whatever switch up and things that happened in that whole, I don't want to say debacle, but that whole series of things with them courting Bill Belichick. You know, Rick McVay, you know, he had a lot of pull, you know, from both sides of things. So I think it's similar to that probably, but it's a new position, right? It's one that they created, and it's brand new to the organization. And I think it's going to work, just from my perspective, just because of the unique balance of skills that Chad Brinker has. I mean, he's that rare total marriage of you know, operation, analytics, and actual old school football approach to it.
Last one from me, TD. I heard Robbie and Joe kind of throwing this question around earlier this morning, and interested to get your thought on it. How much of Will Levis's success will dictate Brian Callahan's success? Let's say Will Levis, we find out, you know, he's not the quarterback of the future. What will that mean for Brian Callahan and his future with the Titans?
I think he could survive a Will Levis not working out. I think he could survive that, but it's a lot like the Jay Gruden situation, right? If you look at that, he went in and he was supposed to be the guy to solve Robert Griffin III's just to get him to play to the utmost, you know what I mean? I don't want to say solve him, but he was supposed to be the one to showcase him the best. And obviously that didn't work, and they ended up having Kirk Cousins around, and so they were able to skirt it. But, I mean, he survived the loss, and I don't want to say failure, but the moving on from who was supposed to be the franchise. So I think in the same way, Brian Callahan could do that. But if he does that, then the next guy that they bring in better be right, because otherwise he'll be, you know, without a job, in my opinion.
TD, you are the very best. Appreciate you for stopping by with us. Tell us about ESPN Bet.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely something I want to talk to you about. ESPN Bet is now live here in Tennessee. And it's the official sports book of ESPN. So you go to ESPN Bet. It's the only place that you can find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. You can sign up today, and you'll get, as a new user, you'll get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. You can find all your favorite markets and bets. Like if you want to do in-game wagering, if you want to cross sport parlays, you know, put the Lakers and the Predators in a bet, you could do that. You could do teasers and any other props like that. So make sure you check out ESPN Bet. You download that today, and you must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. And for gambling problems or any support from that matter, you could call or text the red line at 800-889-9789.
TD, you are the very best. Yeah. Looking forward to chatting with you next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate it. You all take care.
All right, thanks, CD. Appreciate you. And as far as the Brian Callahan, Will Levis question is concerned, it's tough, right? Because I believe that Brian Callahan was brought in to get the most out of Will Levis, to make him the franchise quarterback of the future. So if you can't do your job that you were tasked to do, then how long do you get to keep your job? But also, Brian Callahan didn't draft Will Levis. So it's tough. I go back and forth on it. But we'll continue the conversation coming up next. We'll get into your phones coming up next as well. Caroline, Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.